This is the Army Hour, reporting the Army's operations around the world, with stories this week from Vietnam and Okinawa. In Vietnam, demolition men blow up a dud artillery round.
Well, we have a charge here, a 3-pound charge of TNT. We have a 30-second fuse on it. And we're about to zap this 105 in order to keep it away from Charlie so he can't get the explosives.
From Okinawa, a story about psychological operations.
In Vietnam, one of the most popular messages from our point of view is one that appeals to the VC's sense of returning back to their homeland. The slogan is, born in the North, die in the South. We found this to have a tremendous psychological impact on the Viet Cong.
And the four lads make an appearance on stage. It's mighty nice to have you with us here on stage, where each week we turn the spotlight on the top recording stars and the Army's most talented performers. This time we welcome that great singing group, the Four Lads, who come forward now to sing The Mockingbird.
The Mockingbird.
The bird, he gave it the power to sing his word, to sing about the joy of his heavenly land. When under the good and righteous stand, well, his voice did rumble, his voice did rock. The earth was shaken by the mighty shock.
Singing, wow, oh, sing, little mockingbird, sing his song.
Well, he sang and sang. His voice was heard, his tune was carried by every bird. To the ends of the earth this warning rang out.
So when the fire burns, you want to shout.
That's how the song was born.
When darkness falls in Vietnam, our combat men sometimes use what is called harassing and interdictory fire to prevent a possible attack by the Viet Cong. This H and I fire is directed at a certain area where it is believed the enemy is already located, or to keep them out of that area, and the firing may go on all night intermittently. Occasionally, one of the rounds does not go off when it lands. It's a dud. If this unexploded round is later discovered by the Viet Cong, they make a booby trap out of it, which becomes a deadly menace to our own troops. Therefore, when our men run across one of their own duds, they quickly call for demolition experts to destroy it, so that the VC can't get their hands on it. Our Army Hour reporter, Sergeant Major Stan Bishop, is on patrol with the Wolfhounds of the 25th Infantry Division when they're faced with this particular situation.
We're with Company A, 2nd Battalion, 27th Infantry, the Wolfhounds of the 25th Infantry Division. We're out on a patrol, and right now we're some 20 miles west of Saigon. We've been out on this patrol for the past 3 hours, drawing some sniper fire along the way, and at this present moment, we're located smack dab in the middle of a rice paddy. And about 2 feet from me right now, we have a 105 artillery round and some other rounds here that we're about to blow up. Or what's the expression over here? Zap?
Zap.
Zap is the expression. And the two demolition men that we have right here with us.
Private First Class David Boyce.
And
Private First Class Harold K. Root.
Okay, now let's talk about this charge that we've set up here on this 105 round.
Well, we have a charge here, a 3-pound charge of TNT. We have a 30-second fuse on it. And we're about to zap this 105 in order to keep it away from Charlie so he can't get the explosives.
Charlie being the Viet Cong, as you guys call him over here.
Yes, sir.
Now, Harold, where did this 105 come from? What's it doing way out here in the middle of the rice paddy?
I imagine it came from DuCroix, and it was to keep Charlie off our necks.
And it's a dud, in other words.
It's a dud round, yes, sir.
This may sound rather ridiculous to some of our listeners. Here we are right in the middle of the Viet Cong territory, and we're nonchalantly talking about this 105 dud that's about 2 feet from us. Harold, I think we should perhaps explain why we feel so secure.
Well, we have the wolfhounds all around us. They're pulling security for us, and there isn't too much danger right now.
The Sergeant Pierce has his patrol. He's set up a perimeter all the way around us. They're off about how far?
Oh, about 75 meters.
Well, are we about ready to blow this dud? How are we going to do this?
We just set the fuse lighter off, and then it ignites the time fuse, and that's all there is to it.
Now, how much time do we have to get out of here and get away?
Approximately 30 seconds.
Which means we're going to have to really shag over the, over the other side of that rice paddy, right?
Like they say over here, we got to deed him out.
Deed him out. Well, let's get back to work here. I'm going to pull off here at the side, and you people go ahead and get that fuse going, and I'm going to load up and get ready to take off here. Okay, everybody's picking up their field equipment, the TNT, and their weapons. And that's it. I think we should...
Fire in the hole!
Everybody is running across the paddies here. It's quite a run. It's mighty hot over here.
Yes, it is. I'd say it's about 110 right now.
Okay, here we are. We don't have much time left, do we? It's about ready to go?
Yes.
And there she goes. Zap, as you people call it over here. 105 round that Charlie won't get his hands on. Whee! That is some run across this country over here. How do you people put up with that every day, Dave?
Well, we get by. It's rather hot over here, but we have our canteens with water and our salt pills, and we have water purification pills in case we run out of water. It's just an everyday routine now.
Dave, how old are you?
I'll be 19 in June.
And how big are you? What's your weight?
I weigh about 140 pounds.
You're carrying how many pounds with you, Dave?
25 pounds.
Boy, have you lost any weight, put on any weight since you've been over here?
I don't really know. I haven't had that.
You haven't had a chance to weigh yourself?
No, I haven't. I spent too much time out in the field. Dave.
And Harold, now, how about you? How many months have you been over here, and how are you putting up with this heat, lugging all that TNT across these rice paddies?
I've been over here just about 3 months and getting along okay, I guess.
Have you ever been out on many patrols like this? Is this a daily occurrence with you two? We did draw some sniper fire today. Is that the usual thing when you go out on these patrols in this area?
Yes, it is.
Well, to the two of you, we certainly want to thank you very much for talking with us here on the Army Hour. two demolition men assigned to Company A, the 2nd Battalion, 27th Infantry, the Wolfhounds of the 25th Infantry Division. That's Private First Class David Boyce and Private First Class Harold Root. Now, this is Sergeant Major Stan Bishop in the middle of a rice paddy about 20 miles west of Saigon, returning you to the Army Hour in Washington, D.C.
A bit of nostalgia now, with a song from the memorable score of Oklahoma. Here's the United States Army Field Band and Chorus to tell of that wonderful period when it was the height of elegance to go courting in a surrey with the fringe on top.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the surrey. When I take you out in the surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high step and strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery is brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With fiberglass curtains you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I can do small.
Two ways of fighting an enemy, with weapons and with words. And in Vietnam, the Army is using both. Because the employment of weapons results in casualties on both sides, it's obvious that the use of words has a distinct advantage. This method is called psychological operations. And through the use of words in a variety of ways, the Army tries to show the enemy that they're wrong, that they'd be better off if they stopped waging war. For the story of how the battle for men's minds is conducted, we hear from Pacific reporter Will Thompson on Okinawa, where Major Harold Grady of the 7th Psychological Operations Group talks about the work of his unit.
We have three primary missions that we do right here in the 7th Group. The first mission, we're very active in magazine production. The second mission is of leafleting programs. Third one is radio operations.
Your pamphlets, your magazines that you put out, what languages do you put them out in?
We publish these magazines in the Japanese language, the Korean language, and right now our production is approximately 450,000 per month. This has been compared very frequently to leading stateside magazines. We're using these pamphlets at every opportunity to not only tell the American story, but to lend emphasis onto why the Americans are in these particular countries and in support of United States Information Service policies.
Let's hear about your radio effort. In what languages? How many hours are you on the air? And how do you transmit these programs?
We're on the air 19 hours a day. We have radio transmissions going up to Korea. We have a radio program in the Ryukyu Island here in Okinawa. And we also support this by broadcasting 19 hours per day.
What is it, mostly news, sir?
We have a combination of news. It's about 50% news and 50% music and commentary.
We have read, it's gotten quite a play in the press back in the States, your pamphlet program. What are your messages that you're dropping from airplanes down in Vietnam?
In Vietnam, one of the most popular messages from our point of view is one that appeals to the VC's sense of returning back to their homeland. The slogan is, born in the North, die in the South. We found this to have a tremendous psychological impact on the Viet Cong. The Chu Hoi program is the one where it means literally the open arms program. To support this, we are printing safe conduct passes. We have found this to be extremely effective. Many of the VC that have turned themselves in usually come in with these surrender leaflets. And also we have found that many of the people who are in, as an example, that went into Tan Son Nhut here not too long ago, who were captured, also had quite a number of these pamphlets and these leaflets with them.
Can you give us an idea of about how many North Vietnamese have come over to the friendly forces as a result of your efforts?
It's approximated at 20,000 came over in 1966. And these are people who, if they hadn't come over, would probably have been shooting at us.
I wish to thank you very much, Major Harold E. Grady, the operations and training officer of the 7th Psychological Operations Group, speaking to us here on Okinawa. Thank you very much, sir.
Now come on and join the Army Dance Band Combo in a bit of elbow bending, south of the border style with some tequila. If you're a registered nurse between 20 and 35, your country needs you to serve as a proud and important part of the Army team, the Army Nurse Corps. The increased buildup in Vietnam calls for more Army nurses everywhere. Assignments are available to Vietnam, Japan, Korea, Alaska, Europe, and the continental United States. To find out more about this challenging and important work, visit the Army recruiter in your community. Your country needs you now. change of tempo now. And the sweet and swinging sound of the Army Dance Band with Are You in the Mood? Army Hour, pre-recorded for broadcast at this time, is produced by the Office of the Chief of Information, Department of the Army. Music by the United States Army Field Band and Chorus, conducted by Lieutenant Colonel Robert L. Beerley, and the Army Dance Band Combo, directed by Master Sergeant Lonnie Wilfong. Our guest entertainers on stage were the Four Lads. Script and production by David B. Eskin. This is Sergeant First Class Clem Seamus speaking.